quite a week around here, and it seems fitting, perhaps, as we look backward a week. Last Sunday, we were talking about the Psalms of disorientation. This was a disorienting week, wasn't it? Right? And it certainly felt that way Wednesday morning when my wife shook me awake in the early hours and said, "There's water in the basement, Eric. Get up." Ah, what? And over the hours of shop vacuuming moisture, gallon after gallon, our psalm from last week, Psalm 13, came to mind at the opening phrase, "How long, O Lord? How long?" Oy. Especially as those rains kept coming down Wednesday morning. My goodness, I was disoriented this past week in this flood that took place, and this deluge, and many of you experienced that as well. Well, this morning we're gonna move from disorientation. You know, we've been talking about different psalms and the ways of thinking about what they're like, what kind of experiences they're speaking to. And about a month ago, we talked about some of the psalms of orientation that we find in the Bible, psalms that remind us of the nature and the character of God, that just ground us in who God is and what God's like, and particularly that Hebrew word, chesed. Remember that one? All right, let's try it again. I want to get this into our vocabulary, right? So one, two, three. Chesed. It's a good word. It's a good word to remember. It's about God's steadfast faithfulness, God's loving kindness. It means so much. It's at the heart of the character of God. And a lot of the Psalms of orientation remind us of that. And then there's the Psalms of disorientation we talked about last week, those Psalms that are all about the moments of chaos, the seasons of despair and grief and loss, the times when God feels just abandoning us, that God is so far off, and then we cry out, "How long, how long?" And they fit for those seasons, and God can take it when we cry out and we rail and say, "Why, why?" Well, this morning we're going to turn one other type of psalm, and this, of course, is a large classification of psalms, is that of Psalms of new orientation or reorientation. These are psalms that speak to particularly people who have been through those moments of chaos, been through the disorientation, through the anger, through the grief, through the loss, and have come out on the other side of it now and are celebrating and are rejoicing because they're no longer in that pit, in that darkness. So that's the psalm that we pick up this morning, Psalm 30. We've actually heard it in a few different versions already. In our first hymn we sang, and that was a modern version of Psalm 30. It was a part of our confession this morning. So we're hearing it a few different ways. And in fact, the version we're going to read today is a modern translation called The Message. And part of my encouragement in talking about the psalms is to get us back to them. And I know some of us maybe in years past have opened up the Psalms and tried to read them and thought, "Oh, they're just awkward. It's poetry. It's different verse and rhyme and things that it doesn't make sense to us sometimes. Sometimes the language seems archaic or a little stilted." And so I want to help us do anything we can to recapture the Psalms, to get back into them, because, of course, they've been guiding us and speaking to us and for us for a few thousand years. So I don't want us to lose them. And so this modern translation, the Message version, is maybe one other way that if you were to dive back into the Psalms, you might find them easier to digest and to understand. You could tell the language is very real, very earthy. I love them. So hear this version of Psalm 30. "Well, I give you all the credit, God. You got me out of that mess. You did not let my foes gloat. God, my God, I yelled for help, and you put me together. God, you pulled me out of the grave, gave me another chance at life when I was down and out. Oh, all you saints, sing your hearts out to God. Thank him to his face. He gets angry once in a while, but across a lifetime, there is only love. The nights of crying your eyes out give ways to days of laughter. Now, when things were going great, I crowed, 'Hey, I've got it made. I'm God's favorite. He made me king of the mountain.' And then you looked the other way, and I fell to pieces. And I called out to you, God. I laid my case before you. Can you sell me for a profit when I'm dead? Auction me off at a cemetery yard sale? When I'm dust to dust, my songs and stories of you won't sell. So listen, be kind, help me out of this. And you did it. You changed wild lament into whirling dance. Can't you just see that? Oh, from the lament into whirling dance. You ripped off my black mourning band and decked me with wildflowers. I am about to burst with song. I can't keep quiet about you, God, my God. I can't thank you enough. I think it sort of ends with a woohoo kind of feel to it, doesn't it? Gracious God, we are grateful for the woohoo, for the salvation story, for the rescue tale. Lord, help us to understand it and to delve into it. May your Spirit guide us as we look at what it is to be rescued once again. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Psalm 30 is, as I said, this psalm of new orientation. And new orientation is our stories people tell, where you get to hear the hardship of the past and the celebration of today. Folks thinking through how hard it was before and now where they're at, and they're grateful. And some of these psalms are individuals telling their tale. Maybe it's King David. Maybe it's another writer who knew his tales and told them for him. Maybe it's those who came out of exile from Babylon and returned and celebrated their salvation back to the homeland. When I read Psalm 30 and some of the other new orientation psalms, I think of my own rescue story. Maybe you have a rescue story. Mine involves whitewater rafting. Has anybody been whitewater rafting before? All right, several of you have experienced this. Well, since the majority of you have not, I wanted to show you a brief clip of whitewater rafting. It's a minute snippet, just so you get a sense of what is this like.
It was awesome. Definitely come back if I'm back in the area. Good stuff.
All right, are you ready to go? Want to do some whitewater rafting? It's exciting. It's exhilarating. I've been rafting, oh gosh, probably 10, 12 times over the years. Sometimes in California, in different rivers there, and in Colorado several times. And I can tell you, I'm done whitewater rafting. I'm done. I'm not doing it anymore. Because there was a rescue story. For me, there was one of those days. It was a great day, a day when the river was running full. A bunch of us had come up from the church. It happened to be my birthday, and my family was out of town, so I decided I'd go with the group up to go rafting for the day several years ago. And you go through this process when you get ready to whitewater raft, because you're not going on still water. You're not going on calm water, you're going on white water, right? So there's some things you better know before you get into that, right? So you go through a whole series of instructions and ideas, and one of them is, if you fall out of the boat, we hope you don't fall out of the boat, but if you fall out of the boat, make sure that you try and get your feet up right away downriver, head back, and float as shallow as you can, because you never know what's in the river, and because the thing you want to do when you fall out, as you begin to float, is you want to stand up, because often you're rafting actually in rivers that aren't that deep. And that was the case certainly in the day we were rafting. But they caution you against it. Don't stand up, because if you stand up, your foot might get caught in something in the river. And water is powerful. And you think, it's just a foot of water, maybe 2 feet. I could stand up in this, no big deal. But you can't. When it's flowing at full bore, you get stuck. The river is just going to push you over and bury you. But when you fall out, it feels like you should just stand up and try and get back in the boat. But they caution you against this. So, we're ready. We're on the river. We're floating down. We have not gone through much yet. It's still pretty calm and easy, and we're all excited and such. And the boat drifts off to the side a little bit, and it hits the edge of the bank. And it was sort of unexpected, and then the boat sort of boop, spins around a little bit, and I didn't see it coming. I wasn't anchoring myself in because we weren't in the midst of a big rapid yet, and all of a sudden, whoop, I flip out, and I feel silly, right? This is not in white water. This is not through some big raging rapid. It's just why we're floating. And I've fallen out, and I think, oh, no big deal. I'm close to shore. It's not that deep. I'll stand up and get back in the boat. Ding! They said, don't do that. But that's what I do. And immediately, I feel my feet catching the rocks, getting cut up, and the water is pushing, and I am floating, and now I'm going face down, and I am flailing, trying to get back over and find the boat. And it's only a few moments. I'm not in the river long, but it is snowmelt, so the temperature of the river is maybe about 40 degrees. So I can't breathe. I'm hyperventilating while trying not to breathe in water. Panicked. And thankfully, Rob, the guide, does what the guide is trained to do, and he grabs me by the life vest and pulls me in like a flopping salmon. I went from orientation. This is what we do. This is how we do it. This is going to be good. Into the river. Disorientation. Chaos. Fear. Despair. Yikes. Back into the boat. Oh, new orientation. Salvation. Rescue. Oh, Rob, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, I mean, you know, after a few minutes when I could actually breathe and talk again, and the adrenaline had calmed down and such, then thank you, thank you, thank you. That's just like the psalm we read. It's this new orientation because the author has come through this trying time and now has come out on the side of light and is saying thank you. And when I read this psalm, I think of my rescue and there have been some others along the years, different kinds of rescues for me. They're salvation stories, if you will. Each of us, I imagine, has been rescued in some way. There has been salvation that has come into our life in one way, shape, or form. Maybe not physical salvation being pulled out of the water, but perhaps a healing that's taken place. Perhaps a relationship that was destroyed for so many years and then recovery and restoration happened. Perhaps it was that season of unemployment when it seemed like nothing was going to work out and then a new job came and that felt like rescue. For each of us, I think there are rescue stories, and so these Psalms of new orientation help to speak about them for us, help to remind us of how do we do this? What do we do when we find ourselves out on the bright side now? Walter Brueggemann talks about them this way. The Psalms of New Orientation speak to life on the other side of disorientation, when we've come through our dark season and have been changed in the process. I think of a different salvation story, rescue moment for a family I knew many years ago. I'll use a different name for now. Her name, we'll say, is Susie. Susie was a young mom in her 30s, four young girls and a husband, and working, teaching in a school when she found that lump. And the diagnosis came through, stage 4 breast cancer. Disorientation, grief, anger, despair, chaos. It was a dark season, and I can remember those conversations and times hearing from her children and herself and her husband just wondering, why, God? Why? How long do we have? How do I have much time at all? And it seemed like the answer was no. It will happen soon. There's not much time left. And yet, it's now nearly 15 years later, and Susie is a dynamo. She, every year, raises thousands and thousands of dollars for breast cancer research and is an advocate and a champion for cancer research and funding, and is full of joy and enthusiasm for life because she went through that season of disorientation and there was healing and surprise. God showed up in a way that was unexpected, and she can say, thank you, God. Let me tell you about my story. Let me shout it aloud. I can't thank you enough, God. This is Susie's story too. Do you have a salvation tale to tell? The thing about the Psalms, there's so many different kinds, and so this category, the new orientation, they're there to help remind us of who God calls us to be when we come out of the darkness. Our psalmist writes, you know, things are going well, and he sort of forgot about God. I crowed out, he said, and I said, hey, I'm the king of the world, but that was sort of me on my own apart from God, and then things fell apart, and then he cries out to God. God rescues, and then he says, oh, all right, Lord, this is you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's a way of remembering, don't forget your story. Don't forget where God has been, what God has done in your life. Recount the story, retell it, share it to those who haven't heard it yet. It's the way that Israel went along decade after decade when they recounted their salvation tale. You remember it? They were exiles, they were slaves in Egypt, and God rescued them. It's a part of their festivals and feasts. When they get together, they recount their history and remember and give thanks to God. It's how we look back that helps us move forward so we don't forget. Brueggemann again, he says, these are the prayers and songs that bespeak the intervening action of God to give life in a world where death seems to have the best and strongest way. And that's the challenge, isn't it? So often we look around and it seems like death has the strongest way, but we can't forget. We can't forget God intervenes, God shows up, and there is new life and new beginnings. Do you have a salvation tale? A rescue story? I want to invite you to share it today in a simple way. At the end of the pews, there are some 3x5 cards. And a few pens and pencils. They might be there on the ends. They might be in front of you. I would invite you to consider for a moment, as I was telling my rescue story, as I was talking about Susie's rescue story, was there a salvation tale that came to mind for you? Was there a way in which you felt God has rescued you in some fashion throughout your life? Now, maybe it was a dramatic event. Or maybe, for many of us, it might have been something more prolonged as you came out of a season of change and darkness, and you're grateful for it. I'd invite you to take a minute and to create your own psalm of new orientation, if you will. And in a minute, to then drop those in the offering plate as a part of your worship today and your gratitude. Because you see, the motto we get from the psalm is, tell the tale. Oh, I was in deep straits, and Lord, you got me out of it. Lord, you rescued me. And then give thanks and praise for it. And say, yes, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. I can imagine Susie's version might say something like, Lord, the prognosis was not good, and life seemed short, but you healed when I didn't think healing was possible. Thank you. Thank you for extra years I didn't think were there. That might be her version. What will yours be? I want to invite you to, if you've got one that comes to mind for you today, to write it down. It's brief, a few lines, tell the tale a little bit, and give thanks and gratitude to God. This is a way of remembering and of celebrating. And just to let you know, at some point, I want to try and share some of these. You can keep them anonymous. You can put your name to it. But I want us to recount these stories because there are ways that we say, yay, we celebrate who God is and what God's up to. We don't necessarily know all these stories unless we share them. So Rick's going to play for a little bit, give us some music to help us think and to write. And in a few minutes, I'll kind of wrap us up in prayer. And then as we take up the offering after that, I invite you to share these in the offering plate. Okay? Let's try that. Lord, indeed, we do give you thanks this day as we share our rescue stories, our salvation tales. Lord, we are so grateful for the ways you have intervened. You've been a God who heals and restores, brings new possibilities, new beginnings, where we didn't think possible. So, Lord, help us to remember your work in our lives and to recount and to share and to give praise to you for all the ways you have been good and faithful to us. In Jesus' name, amen.